dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the one and only Vagabond Dilemma. And today, in the spirit of all good things ending at some point, we present to you, coherently, naturally, and very politely together, the first of the two-part series about... We'll find out if you listen.
Hello there, everybody! Welcome back! It's been a while, isn't it? Well, for us at least.
That actually is true. I completely forgot the fact that for listeners, or rather for our recording sessions, it's been like a while, because I just talked with you for a week right now, and I was like, okay, what do you mean? Like talking like yesterday?
Yeah. I mean, when was the last time we recorded? At the beginning of July.
Yeah, and for traceability purposes, this is what now?
The 22nd of August, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, end of August.
Right, so then updates over the summer. Yeah!
Go ahead, Rudy.
So what did I do over the summer? I am back on book reading. Hate-love trope is officially over. Disappointment all around when going to parents' place. Not because of the parents, but other other reasons. I'm working on myself. Because there's always room for improvement, even for somebody like me. And I know it's hard to believe, but people strive for better, always.
All
not right. In a, you know, negative or self-depreciating or unhealthy ways, but you know how you should feed this? Feed your curiosity, people. Way too many people in this world get their curiosity completely killed in their early years. Don't do that. Feed it. Nurture it. Let it live. Let it bloom.
I support this message, but I don't quite get in which capacity you are talking about. What do you mean they kill their curiosity?
Because the whole system that society is made over is just like, it just kills people's curiosity. Because first of all, you're led to believe that you are supposed to know everything out by like 25. And you know, you're supposed to at least have the general sense of how your life is going to be. Right? You have to have a plan. When you're planning things, feeding curiosity, I mean like on those... How do I say this? For example, I study electrical engineering, but I'm curious about biology. So once in a while, I'll look it up. That kind of stuff, right?
So you're bi-curious.
Exactly. and then high school, in general, it's just the knowledge you're supposed to get, the amounts of knowledge you're supposed to get up from high school till university, just kind of... Because it is hard to be, how do I say this, emotionally or even knowledge-wise curious if you're just always knackered out. And, you know, your brain is always at the capacity of, like, I studied for, I don't know, maybe even, like, 5 hours or less. But I'm completely knackered and I feel like an amoeba and I just come here and do nothing at home, right? So, take care of your mind, people. It's on the head, it's on the head.
I mean, that's a good message.
And if you don't want any problems like these, you don't want any ambitions and want to just live in a simple ignorance of bliss, cut off your head.
Based? I was going to say, like, live in a cave, but I guess beheading yourself is also a valid option.
Wouldn't be any problems if you wouldn't have a head, I'm just saying.
So true, Kate. Well, glad to hear you had an adventurous summer, I guess.
I did. I always find adventures. How about you, sir?
It was quite relaxing and calm. We did a lot of fun stuff at home. And then right as all my friends come back and I want to hang out with them, I get sick for like a week straight, cancel my birthday plans. Lovely stuff.
Yeah, that was kind of shitty. In a sense of like shitty for you.
Yeah, I mean...
Did you ever think of where you might have gotten the thing? Because did you go out that much?
I have a hunch, but...
Okay. Yeah, for podcast purposes, Henry went to a very lewd strip club where people rub against each other.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta have a hobby is what I've always said. And my hobby
so true,
is
be curious, people.
Exactly. I was like, hey, what's under those clothes?
Don't put that message out there. That is, don't people in the right circumstances think that, please.
Alright.
Imagine just walking down the street. Hey, what's under those clothes?
You You better show me right now. I'm trying to satisfy my curiosity. But yeah, I guess overall, good. Last week, bad. But we can pick it up again, you know? So it's fine.
Oh, we're gonna come back rumbling and tumbling.
That's what I'm saying, King.
Also, right. Because that person has already been on the podcast, here is my official gratitude for standing in as the co-parent over the summer of my child, Anna. Glad to hear you kept her on the prowl.
Of course.
Everybody has to have a hobby, am I right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I feel like I actually fully stepped into the role, and...
That's good.
You should be proud of me, and you are, and thus I am.
For listeners at home, I have a child for all the official purposes, and I was away for a month, and I told Henry, listen up, buddy, we might disagree on a lot of things, practically everything, except this podcast. Well, and even on this podcast, about everything, the only thing agreeing that we have to be here at this time and just shit on each other is the only agreement we ever made. But yeah, so I was like, step in, buddy. And so he did so diligently and ever knowingly.
Thank you, King. So shall we step into the episode?
Hell yeah! First of all, introduce the podcast, which is also such a running bit that I always tell you to just do it instead of doing it myself.
Okay, this is the Vagabond Dilemma. I mean, I always forget as well, so, you know, what can I say? This is the Vagabond Dilemma.
Yeah.
What is it about?
It's about general purpose assistant bot with strengths in programming related tasks and non-English languages, powered by GP3.5 Turbo, formerly known as Sage.
Alright, cheers.
This ad was not sponsored.
We pick an explorer, talk about their history, talk about their adventures, talk about how they got lost, factually. Make up a resolution, and then we talk about the actual resolution.
Yes, I would like to introduce that there's gonna be a little bit, just a tiny little bit of a change for these next upcoming episodes. So this and the next one, right? Because me and Henry have worked on our issues like good people, and we are doing a cooperation for the next two episodes. Hence the episodes. I actually don't know what the name will be. Maybe we can find it throughout the episode whilst doing it. But it's going to be a two-parter. We're going to hit you with a 1-2. So, this episode, as far as I understood from Henry, will not have a resolution as such. However, you guys will have a resolution in my episode, which is next week.
Exactly. So you'll have to stay on the horn, huh?
Yes. And should we talk about how we tackled the specific story or not? Should that be a surprise later on?
Should we just not just do it? And then...
Let's just do it! Ready to rumble!
Actually, I forgot to mention, I had like this weird mental episode like around the time that episode 46 got published. Don't know what happened back then, you know. In the summer.
You do know that we don't have an episode 46. There's episode 45 and then 47.
I guess this was part of it then. Alright, moving on.
Wait, Henry, do you need, like, professional help? Like, is this what's happening? Wait. Do we want to talk about this?
I guess I'll talk to it with my therapist.
Okay. Well, don't jeopardize my podcast, bitch.
I'm sorry. Well, really? Today, and... I want you to know that I scripted this specific sentence out, so just keep in mind when I read this and you know how horrible it is, alright?
Okay.
Today we frankly have the Franklin expedition. The Franklin expedition. Featuring the star of the story, the affable John Franklin.
Excuse me, even I know it's Sir John Franklin.
Well... Big middle finger to the royalty. Suck my ass. Sorry, but fuck off with that shit.
Understandable.
All right. We're going to do the Rudy's Rock segment right fucking now, actually, because...
Oh, right, there's that. Oh, my God, I keep forgetting.
Because of structure. So, cue the intro music. Mm-hmm. Man, I love rock, bro. God, I love rock, yeah. Rocks, rocks, rocks. It's Rudy's rocks. It's not always rocks. Sometimes it's a tree. Sometimes it's a bee. It's Rudy's rocks. This segment is so fun. I'm held hostage by your gun. It's Rudy's rocks. Singing out of tune. I hope it ends real soon. It's Rudy's rocks. Rudy doesn't know that I am on the flow. It's Rudy's rocks. It's Rudy's rocks. Rudy's rock here is going to have relevance later. So I'm going to... Let me read what I wrote. Today... Okay, we have Rudy's Rocks Plant Edition today. So...
Fucking... I love that this just has become like a name for anything you want me to name. It's Rudy's Rocks Balloon Edition. Rudy's Rocks Plant Edition.
I think Balloon Edition was probably the most removed from rock. Alright, today's rock, or, well, plant, I guess, is relevant to some of the backstory I will tell. But since it's slightly key, we're doing it now so that you can see how it ties in a minute. So, I will send Rudy the picture. So, I sent him a picture of a rock, he describes it to you, and we both give it a name.
Except in this case, it's like far removed from a rock. There's like not a single rock in this picture.
That's right. If you want to see it, you can send us, me, or Rudy a message and we'll send it to you.
That is very much true. And also send a letter to our office in Australia, don't forget.
Yes.
Alright, so I'm supposed to describe what I'm seeing. And I must say, doesn't leave much for imagination, this picture. The background is divided in two actually quite symmetric parts. Up and down, sort of. You remember, kids, how you used to draw skyline when you were children, which was just a green line in the middle? Everything to the bottom was green and to the up was blue because that was the sky. Now imagine instead of blue, it's gray, and you have exactly the picture of the background. And in the middle, there's a like a trunk, like a bark. And on that bark is moss. It's just vomit-colored moss is all I'm going to say.
Sure.
So I'm going to name this... Wait, am I supposed to name the moss or the tree?
Whatever you feel like.
I'm just going to name this picture as an art, and I'm going to name him Vomi.
Vomi?
Vomi.
Oh, Vomi, okay. Well, sure. Alright, well, my vision here is a little bit more specific. In a way, and keep in mind that you have to look at this very liberally, this moss formation looks like a seahorse.
That does kind of look like it. Yeah, I can see that. Okay, I can see that.
And yet it has nothing to do with the name that I'm going to give it.
What the...
The name I'm going to give
it... I could have just been like... this moss is green. Let's name it yellow.
I'm gonna call it the Barky Knight.
Okay.
Stay with me.
Okay.
Because the first thing I thought of when I saw this, with all the specs and shit, is Starry Night for some reason, the painting from Van Gogh. So this is gonna be Barky Knight. With a massive ass seahorse on the center.
What about Barfy Knight?
Barfy Knight, sure. To have a combination of our grand ideas.
Yeah, exactly.
Alright. So, Rudy. This, factually, is lichen. Do you know what that is?
Lichen.
Lichen.
Never heard that word before.
Me neither until I researched, so don't worry. It's a symbiotic organism which combines algae and fungi. And they grow, like, everywhere, basically, on countless surfaces. I mean, you know, everybody has seen
it. I just kind of thought... Oh, wait.
But it's not moss, but it's...
Yeah,
it is something that appears everywhere. Everyone who listens to this has 100% seen it. Just look up lichen if you think you haven't.
I think I know the word for this in Latvian, which is also not moss, but it's a different word. Okay, go on.
Alright, you know what, I'm not even going to try to do a Latvian interpretation. I was gonna.
You know what, now that you said this, I'm going to write this out, the Latvian name I think this is. Try and pronounce this, and I'm not going to correct you, so it's just going to be stay that forever.
Okay.
How do I do the freaking... No, that's not it. There you go.
Gerpis.
Close enough, I guess.
All right. Well, this is Gerpis, everybody. All right? So, just keep that in mind. Next time you go outside, you can say, wow, is that some Gerpis on that rock over there? Hell yeah, brother.
You just try, like, farther and farther away from the actual pronunciation.
Hey, everybody. Is that Kerpis over there?
Kerpis?
Kerpis? All right. So, let's get into the story, and then you will see how this comes back, all right?
All righty.
So, Johnny Franklin. Born 16 April 1786. From an early age on, he was already interested in a career at sea, but his father initially opposed, but eventually he was allowed to work for a merchant, and then after that, his father used his connections to have him become a sailor at the British Royal Navy. He fought in various battles, from the Battle of Copenhagen to like New Orleans. He joined in on various expeditions. I'm skipping through a lot of his early life because he has some expeditions after which are much more interesting, which we will talk about immediately as well. So, in 1819, this is, at this point, he is, like, 30-ish, mm-hmm. Right? He gets his first expedition lead, the Copper Mine Expedition. And where do you think this is?
Somewhere where there are copper mines.
You would be wrong, factually.
What the
fuck? And how could you think that?
I was bamboozled, hoodwinked, misled, betrayed, led astray.
So, as far as I'm aware, so the copper mine is a river in Canada. This might be worth having Google Maps out real quick. I should have said that earlier. Just have a general view of where this is, because all of the adventures I'm going to talk about are in this approximate area.
Rest assured, I have it opened right now, and I'm zoning in on Canada.
You can look up the Coppermine River.
The Coppermine River. You keep going, I'm going
to
look it up.
So, it's called Coppermine because the first person to go there found, like, raw copper on the river, but they determined it was not really mineable in the end, so... Kind of a wacky name. Anyway, his task was to go along the Coppermine River. For everybody not on Google Maps, this is in like the very north Canada.
Very north Canada, actually.
What did you say?
Very north Canada, actually.
Yes. Like, this is like Arctic Canada. We're talking here. His task was to go along the Coppermine River, along the coast, to map like the North Canadian coastline for the British. Right? The expedition was very poorly planned and had many setbacks. They had poor supplies. They didn't have, like, reinforcing for the supplies, like, no new supplies. There was a lack of wild animals to hunt because the weather was very poor. The native fur traders, were expected to help out much more than they did, so they didn't get much help from them.
So what I'm getting for right now is, you said there's poor this, poor that. You could also just say they were just poor. It seemed. So.
Sure, I guess so.
No food, no money to trade. Maybe, you know, this is white history, right? Mm-hmm. And history in, like, whites was written, oh, the fur traders didn't help much. What if they just rocked up and were like, yeah, we have, like, 5 cents. Trade furs? And then these natives were like, excuse me, we have economy here.
I mean, you know... It's funny you say that, because there's a line similar to that in a bit. You'll see, okay.
Not exactly apologize. Related
to this, but in the same spirit of this. So the exploration party was constantly like on the brink of death ish, you could say. They were having a laugh at death, and death was having a laugh back in a way, you know? So when their poor supplies ran out fully, they turned back. Keep in mind they're like 500 kilometers down the coastline at this point. They turned back, but it was a very tough journey, and they had nothing left, because they had nothing left, that's why they turned around. And so there were a lot of setbacks, because they had nothing left. They had nothing left, so there was a lot of issues, because they had nothing left.
So, I don't know where this bit is going. I am trying to piece it together, but it's like not happening.
Often, the only food to eat was lichen on the trees and rocks. Yum yum. A tasty little snack.
I am gonna say that I think I should work on myself more.
What? Meaning?
Because lichen, or like, okay, because I was like, okay, when you were like trying to set this up.
Yeah.
You know what I thought of, what I started doing?
Uh-huh.
Guess where my mind went.
Italians. Hey.
Hey, exactly right. They just called up their Italian friends. No, I started talking about cannibalism.
Well, you're not wrong there, because that was like the secondary motive here.
Oh, okay.
Because often the only food to eat was this shitty lichen / like moss algae. So a lot of people were like, hey,
look at those toesy wozies. Don't need
exactly
all of them.
And so half of the party died amid murder accusations and a bit of cannibalism in it. And
so we're off to a great start with our boy.
Yes. Great.
God,
and you know
damn.
What? It gets even better. So the survivors were eventually saved by indigenous people. And then at the end of the expedition, the indigenous people were quite critical. And local fur traders were also like, that was stupid. They didn't have the right prep. They shouldn't have done it, you know?
Yeah.
And then they go back to England. And they are celebrated as heroes. Smart idea. Great expedition.
So. Yeah, I figured this much. That's gonna be the case. Oh my fuck. Listen! This is your typical example of white people, or specifically British, arrogance.
Sure.
It's just so... God, I cannot stress how much that would get on my nerves if something like this happened today. You know what I mean? Like, oh my god. I mean, back then, it kind of was like, I guess, whatever, in a sense of... Because the people who saved them, living in Canada at the time, I don't think they even knew that, you know, these heroes are, like, celebrated back where they came from, right? So for them,
right.
It's like, oh, we just saved a couple of idiots and they went wherever they came from. So it's no use for them. But imagine if that happened in modern world. Holy Jesus Christ.
They would get roasted.
Real. Okay, so I already am over the foot of hating our boy, but go on.
So the expedition was quite a disaster, but it was interesting to read on, so I can recommend it to anybody who's interested.
Who kept this logged?
What log?
Because this is never mind, let's go. I was just like, because somebody must have been honest about this, right? Because I assume if they were celebrated as heroes, then they just blatantly later lied about some things.
Yeah, probably.
And there was this one, like, lyncher sitting there at the back of the ship, and I was like, I know all the secrets.
I didn't check the background of that specifically.
That's fine. Let's go on.
Okay, on we go. In 1825, he left for another Arctic expedition. This time the Mackenzie River expedition. He was working this. This is just another river in North Canada, about the same location-ish. Like, not really, because it was, like, a lot of kilometers apart, but, like, the same general northern Canadian coastline. So So he was working together with several other expeditions where they would sail towards each other from different ends of the coast. Because
Pinter
they had...
Pinter movement.
Hmm?
Pinter movement.
Yeah. They had not mapped out much of the coast there yet. In fact, the only mapping that had happened actually was that specific stretch he had sailed before in the other expedition.
Okay.
So, they did that, and it kind of just worked out, honestly. They also sailed inland at some point through the river. It's not quite clear to me if they came from inland or they went inland, but they passed a lot of big lakes, and they even played ice hockey on one, so...
You know, have some fun, I guess.
Yeah,
pricks.
So, up until this point, most trips, including his training trips when he was young, were Arctic, really. So where does that lead us for our next trip?
North Passage.
What did you say?
North Passage, or North, I don't remember, North must have been Western Passage.
Yeah, Northwest Passage, yeah. Well,
you
you'd
seem
be
very
wrong.
Disappointed.
You would be wrong, actually. This is when he became the governor of Tasmania.
What?
And I can't believe you didn't know that, honestly.
What? This story is just completely full of me being hoodwinked, bamboozled, betrayed, and yeah, I'm not gonna go through the whole spiel again. But what the fuck?
Between 1837 and 1843, he became governor of Tasmania. I don't really get why, but I thought it was funny to include. They also built like a ton of like memorial stuff for him. So
it's like Arnold Schwarzenegger becoming that governor of what was it, Texas or what was it?
California, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I guess whatever works, right?
Imagine like historians later in the day, like 100 years from now, looking up this dude's history. It's like, yeah, so he was a Terminator and also the governor of California.
So, now we do get to the Northwest Passage. This is later. This is after he's, like, stopped being governor, obviously. Governor! Sorry. This is after he stopped being governor. So, Franklin was not the first choice pick, as you would have. In fact, he was, like, fifth choice.
Yes, he was.
Which is quite wacky, isn't it?
It's quite wacky, yeah.
And in fact, one of the choices that was chosen before him was deemed too young, and thus captain of the other ship on the expedition. But not like the main lead of the expedition.
I like how you tried to walk around the name of the person.
I mean, I just figured it's probably not important enough to mention.
Yeah, fair, sure.
So,
it's also very funny to like... Because I obviously, because I already said this is going to be a two-parter, I know how this ends. I maybe necessarily didn't know Henry's prep, but I know, like, I guess, like, the main gist of how later things happened. And
yeah.
It's funny to look at how your perspective story is told.
Yeah, I mean, there we go, you know? That's the interesting part of doing, like, the same topic.
Yeah, exactly.
So, the ships were sturdy and strong. They benefited from modern tech like steam engines. Yes.
There
was also 3 years worth of food stocked. And a lot of books. A lot of books, actually.
Books.
Some huge books, you know.
Some booking books.
They were packing those books. Anyway, some of these preparations were very short term, so they had to be rushed. But it looked like they had a strong expedition going, basically, right?
Yeah.
So
there were a lot of prominent figures in that expedition, too.
Yes.
That's why it was like, it wasn't just him winging something again.
There was, I think, up to, what was it, 135 crew members, something like that.
Yep.
It was quite the expedition. So, just a quick refresher, the Northwest Passage is was supposed to be a shortcut between Europe and Asia without having to sail like around entire continents. And at this point, they were trying to find the final stretches of the passage to map it out and have it be something they could consistently traverse, you know?
Yeah.
So, They sailed successfully to Greenland, to Disko Bay, where Franklin banned drunkenness in Disko Bay. How fucked up is that?
Yeah, that is pretty fucked up. That is definitely pretty fucked up.
It's crazy. No drunkenness, and what was it? No swearing. I don't know if that's going to help, but...
Also, fucking sailors on a ship. And you ban swearing and drinking. It's kind of like, homie.
Yeah, that's high expectations of your crew, dude. For a fucking fifth choice captain. Shut the fuck up. They also killed 10 oxen at that point for that tasty, that juicy, that meat. And then from Greenland, they sailed towards northern Canada, where they spent the winter on Beachy Island, which is just one of the islands in the Northwest Passage. And then they traveled further until eventually the ships became stuck in ice.
The classic trope that we love on this podcast.
We do love it. And then after that point, they were never seen again.
Ooh.
This is where this story cuts off.
Right then, we do our mind exercises. And can I just say, not necessarily how he got lost, but I don't know exactly how he became governor of Tasmania.
That's all right. Let's hear it.
It just occurred to me that it's so obvious, Henry, and I don't know how anyone who's looked at this from like side perspective or rather global perspective wouldn't think of this.
Uh-huh.
So when he was doing his expeditions, the first ones, the ones that were kinda like meh or didn't even properly work out and it made him almost die, right?
Yep.
So he goes to Canada and he's there on a ship. Yeah, there's other issues at hand. Calf dying. Sometimes it's just plain out boring because we're just going along the river. What do you see a lot of Canada? Apart from just ice and forests? That's right, a lot of rivers. Because, I mean, he's exploring rivers, right?
Right.
And he's an explorer. He knows something about the world. Yeah. He goes to Tasmania on his, I don't know, vacation days. Just, you know, with wife and kids. Just chilling there at the hotel. Looks around and is like... Yeah, I don't think this is gonna float, boys. There needs to be industrial improvement, and you know what we need? Rivers in Tasmania. Because if you look at the map of Tasmania, not that many big rivers. Almost none, actually. It's there's some lakes I see, but rivers? Mm-mm. So he had some ideas, and he went to the main Tasmanian, and was like, yeah, boy, I think you could do some rivering. And so the guy was like, yeah, you're so smart. Let's do some rivering. And they rivered for a couple of years until Homeland called him back to tell, I want you, my river boy, to find me the biggest river yet. The end of the Northwest Passage.
He went over there to do some rivering.
Also, if I would have been on the ship, right?
Yes.
And we would have gone to Disko Bay.
Right.
Right? Where, as we all know from somebody else, that's already... this is like... Now the whole lore of our podcast is to find the Northwestern Passage. You have to go to Canada, talk with Greenland sharks, who are very wise creatures,
mm-hmm.
get past Davy Jones, who's just chilling in Hudson Bay.
Yeah.
Go to Disko Bay to vibe, right?
Right.
And then after which we haven't gotten any lore. But the Disko Bay is maybe where the sirens, the maiden of the sea, they just chill there. They vibe. It's Disko Bay. Like, come on. And if I would be promised to go there, and then we get there, and my capitan, El Capitano, just goes, shut your fucking mouth, and I will take the booze from your hand. I would smash that bottle right on his head, throw him overboard, look at my mate, and was like, it's so crazy that on, like, I don't know, April 25th, 1845, he mysteriously disappeared at sea. Like, it's so crazy, right?
That is pretty crazy. how he just
exactly
like,
you understand, you're my mate in this situation, like, don't you think it's crazy?
Yeah, it was like yesterday he was here and then suddenly like he
like oh my god
air.
Where did he go?
Like, did you see that all his properties are still there in the cabin, but he's just mysteriously gone?
We're saying this as we are looking him float away, his like bloody corpse in the water. Oh my god, how did that happen? Like, who would have known? Nobody would have known. Nobody's gonna believe us. But I mean, like, he just disappeared one day. He was gone. It's crazy.
It is. I guess I have to be captain now, huh?
Oh my, you should. You definitely should. It's kind of your, I think, responsibility.
Thank you. Actually, I don't know if I like that. Oh, okay. If you support me, then yeah, you
can be my co-captain.
There's
two ships, buddy.
Yeah. Fuck it. You can be my co-captain.
It's
kind of
crazy,
dude.
How tomorrow, I feel like, I have this weird feeling that tomorrow the next captain is going to get lost on the other ship. It's crazy the coincidences that happen on Canadian rivers.
Yeah. But you know what the nice thing is? I think my first executive order as captain is going to be, you have to be drunk. And you have to swear, factually. Yeah, that's right.
And as a good co-captain, I would be like, fuck yes, booze! Just like drinks.
Well, Rudy.
You know exactly how the mast circled? You know exactly how the anchor dropped? Hit me with one of those, hit me.
I know exactly how the tree got felled, quite frankly. So, I mentioned that they slaughtered oxes in Disko Bay, right?
We remember all 10 oxes with great, how do I say this? They will forever be in our hearts.
That's right. So these oxes, they were very brave, quite frankly. They were hanging out, you know, they were like, oh, we're going on the trip in our favorite steamboat ship.
I mean, back in the day, it was really hard to just be an ox and hang out. They were really brave indeed.
Yeah. So they were just chilling. They see Disko Bay. They get ready for a party. Before they know it, they're all dead.
Oh my god.
So they stand there in the spirit realm like, are we going to take this shit lying down? And they say, no. We're going to get him back. So what happens, Rudy, is they enter the sea. And you know what's in the sea, Rudy?
Davy Jones?
Well, yes. But sea cows.
Oh, no!
That's right. They got reincarnated as swimming cows, the sea cows.
Manatees.
That's right. And then the ship continued sailing, right? So they had to catch up a bit. So they got quite far into, like, the Northwest Passage. And then at some point, they catch up and they're like, all right, here's what we do. We blow really hard right now so that the ice just comes in from out of nowhere. They have no reaction to it. And then they're stuck, right?
Okay.
So they do that. They get the boat beached. And then when everybody's like, whoa, where did this ice come from? Let's get off the boat and examine it. When that happens, we will gank them from the side of the ice.
Okay.
And slap them to death.
I just imagine this foreboding feeling of you going over the ice, right? And you're
right.
Some in between, it's just open water, but you're walking on the ice.
Mm-hmm.
And then out of your corner of your eye, you just see this like figure, like a Loch Ness monster type of thing, just like appears and disappears over the waterline. You're just like, okay, maybe just, you know, saw something out of the corner. You just keep walking, hear these noises under the ice. You're just like, you kind of pick up your pace because you are freaked out. You're creeped.
Yeah.
Suddenly, ice cracks. You definitely understand something's wrong. You start running. Sweat down your brows. You're panicking. You definitely hear more moos coming from all over the place. Like, moo, moo, moo. And then the last thing you see in your life is before you. Anyone who's seen, it's kind of a funny picture, but if you've seen a manatee or haven't seen a manatee, Google it. Just a manatee's tail whips out of the water and just slaps you middle of the face unconscious. And then you get dragged down to the depths.
Exactly. And then you're
and it's also funny because manatees are allegedly known as one of the most peaceful creatures ever.
Well, yeah, after this point, they were like, well, that's all our deaths settled. Time to be
exactly.
Like,
now
cool.
We can just chill.
I mean, there's a reason they're disco cows, right?
True, 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 true. They do kind of be vibing.
Yeah, they do be vibing.
I would kind of imagine if manatees would be, the music would kind of be reggae or that kind of stuff.
Yeah, probably. I mean, in a realistic setting, I'm pretty sure they live in, like, the hotter waters, so...
Yeah, but... I don't know. With today's global warming and no heating elements having been regulated in the oceans, I don't think they have, like, you know, radiators down there. Not sure, haven't been in a while, but... but last time I was, I don't think there were any radiators under the sea. So kind of once in a while, take a vacation over to Canada. To the ancestral grounds.
Pay respect to your cow, to your sea cow.
Because universe overlords. Finds a balance. And if John Franklin is still celebrated as a hero in Britain, then underwater in the Manatee Society, they have erected a statue of him where they swim past and everybody just laughs at him. Look at this bozo.
Everybody swims past and gives him a tail slap in the face.
It's the slap culture of the country. It's like, you know those old brass sculptures that sometimes you're supposed to rub part of it for like good luck and you can see which part is rubbed because it's kind of like golden? It's yeah. Imagine that kind of statue of a human, but like the face is golden, so you can see like this been just slapped and slapped and slapped. It's also kind of indented a bit already.
Well, Rudy, you got something else?
Kind of do.
Well.
So, just to bring it back, in one of our last episodes of this.
Yes.
About the sea and knowing that Davy Jones, our boy, is surviving in Hudson Bay. What is Davy Jones? What is he? Because a lot of people don't know this. He has a job.
Of course. How else would he survive?
Exactly. My boy is not like, he's part of the economy. Maybe not our living community, but he is part of the economy. And that specifically is to ferry the souls of the dead.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Now here's the problem. In Hudson Bay, that's his, like, playground, yeah? Mm-hmm. Somebody gets sunk there or somebody dies there. He knows the ins and outs. He's like, yeah, boy, let's go. I sank you. I get premium from my homie Death or Lucifer or whoever. Let's go. Goes down the stairs, down the bottom of the ocean, goes, you know, underworld, whatever. But it's kind of also his area of jurisdiction to ferry all the souls, even in the northern hemisphere area, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the reason why a lot of people couldn't get past or find the right end for the northwestern passages, is because Davy Jones himself doesn't really know those corridors. He kind of gets lost. He doesn't know. It's like a labyrinth out there, right? So for him, obviously, it would make sense to sunk people in Hudson Bay, where he knows what's happening.
Right.
Because that's before the maze of northwestern passages, right?
Right.
But these fucks slipped through while Davy was, you know, chilling in Disco Bay. Having a day off, these fucks decided on that evening to just go through Hudson Bay. And then they arrive at Disco Bay, and he's like, fuck, living humans, fucked up. Okay, now I kind of wish you actually go through and don't die in Northwestern Passage, because then I don't have to ferry you. But they do die. So God forbid, Davy Jones goes to work the next morning. Heavy shoulders, like, fuck this, I don't want this. Your epitome of a job I hate, right? That kind of person's face.
Okay.
And he spends years trying to find these fucks who blatantly just probably died of scurvy on the ice there, right?
How could they do that to him?
But they're just sitting there as souls, just waiting, like legs dangling over the side of the board, like, okay, any day now, I guess. Well, somewhere in these labyrinths, Davy Jones is like, fucking hell! I swear to God, I'm just walking in circles. We've seen this fucking rock for the fifth time! His first main crew was like, I mean, what can I do? I mean, we just keep going forward, but like, this is, I mean, fuck this. And also, you don't pay me, so like, fuck you, man. And it's just this epitome. And so, it's actually that Sir John Franklin did die physically, but his souls and all the crewmates' souls are still somewhere north of passages. Because they can't get out because they're lost. And Davy Jones is somewhere on Hudson Bay and the start of Northern Passages because he keeps trying to find them and can't find them. So these people are just, as they should, be condemned to
a lifetime on ice.
A lifetime of just suffering, waiting for each other, never to see each other.
Actually, you know, they're stuck on the ice for eternity, right?
Yeah.
That's actually a little known fact, but this is how, like, Disney on Ice gets its employees. It's just dead people. They just stuff the spirits in there.
Oh, true. Because I probably expected that Americans found out that this is a thing and just tried to capitalize on it.
Exactly. They were like, hey, if you're going to be stuck on ice anyway, then I have a job over for you, chief.
Exactly. Alright, I think that should be it from my side today.
Okay.
Do you have anything to add?
I have one last minor theory.
Okay.
I mentioned that they had, like, huge rockin' books, right?
That's true.
Cheeky books, yeah?
Yeah?
Well, I think they had such a huge library that after they left Disco Bay, you know, they were knackered from partying. Sorry, in the secret, like, rave chamber that Franklin didn't know about. They were so knackered that it was like, oh, fuck, it's time for a break. So they all went down to the library, opened a book, and they got so engrossed reading the story of the, what was it, second son of America, loving the son of the British queen, and they were obsessed with it.
You got that wrong. Not that I'm an expert on this,
uh-huh.
But it's the first son of America who is the president, right?
Oh, yeah.
The president is the first person, and the first son of America is the president's son. And the second royal prince of England fall in love.
There we go.
Red, white, royal, blue, not sponsored, but read it! Read it!
They were reading that, and they were like, it's getting hot and heavy in there, quite frankly. Quite Franklin.
true.
And in doing that, they were just so engrossed that they didn't notice that the captain, like, who's supposed to be steering the ship, is also there with them, also engrossed in the book.
They're just all biting their nails, like, reading this one sentence, like, oh, how's it gonna end? How's it gonna end?
Exactly. It was like a story time thing. Everybody was sitting in a circle, and one person was reading it aloud for them. So, what happens? Uh-oh. They don't realize they, like, the ship has gone astray, and at this point, it's just bouncing left and right until eventually it meets its fateful iceberg and goes down.
Iceberg? Well, that we've seen before.
I guess we have.
And I guess... Oh!
And I guess we will.
What? Listen! The icebergs! Everybody thinks it's a huge, humongous iceberg. White thing coming towards you, right? And sinking the ships.
Right.
But in fog, which is usually around ghost ships, and in a huge ghost ship, which probably is semi-transparent and, like, white-greenish.
Uh-huh.
Everybody thinks it's an iceberg, but it's Davy Jones coming at you. It all comes together.
Coming straight at you with a battering ram.
Exactly. They just don't use cannons. They're just like, fuck you. I don't want to do this. Like, you know, haul the fucking cannonballs, shoot them, aim them. Because anyone who's played Sea of Thieves, shooting the cannonballs on moving ship whilst the other ship is moving, it's just such a tedious deal. Might as well ram the thing. And honestly, have eternity anyways because they're undead, so they can fix the ship. They have all the time for it. They can't even sink, right? So they fix the ship just to break it later anyways.
They just fuck up the ship as badly as possible on purpose because they know they have infinite time to repair it.
Yeah. Just a hobby, like IKEA next step.
Alright, well, Rudy, on to the resolution, which is that it's in your episode.
And so... it's in my episode! So goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening for this week's episode. Henry, do all the plugins, and we will see you next time, then.
If you want to send us a message, then you should contact us at thevagabonddilemma@gmail.com, which is the name of the show, at gmail.com. if you want to send a personal message to Rudy, then you should send a message to 000 RUDYS 000.
I wanted to see if you would remember. I was just like sitting here in silence, like, bro, a fucking asshole.
How would I not remember? Motherfucker, I have heard this plug 45 times or some shit.
True, of course, I remember. And don't forget about our don't remember about our Australian Outback office.
That's right. Send us a message there, a little mail, and I'll be there soon to pick it up.
A barrel of oil, or an Italian, any of those, or both.
If you send it,
how about an Italian in a barrel of oil?
Yeah, I don't know if he's gonna be alive at the end of that. So
isn't it the stereotype that the Italians have those like greasy hair that they like to slick back in oil and stuff like that?
A barrel
not that
of
kind
oil.
Of oil, but like exactly, just comes out like super greased up.
All right, well. With that image, goodbye, everybody. See you next week.
Wait. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do this, Henry, properly. Look, Henry, what's that? Go check that out. Come with me, Henry.
Okay.